Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 9th, 2024. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 38, paragraph 1, which begins with "On through the years" and ends with "Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he?" Today's readers are Kathy M. for the 12 steps, Shelly E. for the 12 traditions. Chanel T. will read and comment on the paragraph for us, and Hillary B. will read page 164. Today, the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21642. That's 21642. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21644. That's 21644. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kathy M., recovering compulsive overeater in Michigan. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. And Shelly E. is going to read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Shelly E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 38, paragraph 1, and I will now ask Chanel T. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, Chanel T. in Washington State, completer. And through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work, his wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? Wow, you know, I love this ridiculous, you know, this is a few paragraphs long, actually, this description of the jaywalker. And this is me as a compulsive eater. This is me. Every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of my head. But I'm going to add something to you right now. Honestly, I wanted to continue. The restricting part I didn't like. I did it because I felt I had to. But the binging, sure, I kind of wanted to keep doing it. You know, I really kind of wanted to do that and just not have the consequences, not have the shame, not have the self-loathing, not have the weight gain, not have the ridicule.
So sorry to interrupt.
Everything okay?
I got kicked off, so I had to call back in, and I'm sorry to interrupt in your reading, Chanel. Please continue.
Oh, no worries. All is good. Just making sure. All right. So I wanted to eat, have my cake and eat it too, basically. I did want that. But the truth is I realized pretty early on that I couldn't continue to live this way. And I'm about to turn 57. And only in the last a little more than 18 months now have I had freedom from this obsession, freedom from the jaywalking that is insane. It's insane the way I lived my life in bondage to this disease. It's not my fault I have this disease. It isn't. I am so grateful that now I have a solution. Yeah, it was there all along. Higher power, I choose to call God, and working this program like my life depends on it, because it does. But this ridiculous illustration of a jaywalker, and not a lot of us can relate to that as in real life, that there are people running out into traffic on purpose for a thrill. But that's exactly what I did with my eating. That's what I would do right now with my eating, were it not for God coming to me and showing me through these steps, this program and meetings like this one, that there is a solution, a common solution to this problem, to this illness. I'm not cured, but I am free. And I just want to thank you all for being here. And if you're a newcomer, just stay here. Don't leave. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. Okay. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day, and that in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 38, paragraph 1, please give me your name. We'll take a lineup.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Christine M.
Christine M.
Kat C.
Kat C. Okay, great. That's a great start. Okay, we've got Larry G. followed by Bruce E., Christine M., and Kat C. Please share with us, Larry G.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Larry G. from Northern California. And I am recovered, compulsive eater today, by the grace of God. I really identified most with Jim, but closely followed by the Jaywalker. In fact, I even go to an AA meeting. We're called the Jaywalkers. And yes, my behavior was crazy at the end, doing the same things over and over again, without really having hope of change. In the end, I went from a periodic to a daily, was going from 140 back up to 335, my highest weight. And I knew at that point I could not stop. I had tried everything. But what about today? You know, what about today? You know, 4.5 years into this journey with a vision for you. Am I still a jaywalker? Well, to a certain extent, I am. I'm taking a deep dive into my OA recovery, a deep dive in surrender, and some things I'm giving up, some long-held beliefs, some long behaviors that go back to my first memory of compulsive eating when I was 6 years old, when I stole about a dozen cookies from my aunt and actually was kicked out of her house. And I ate every one of those cookies. What about today? Well, today I'm so willing today. I take a beginner's approach to OA and work with my sponsor. I don't say, let me think about this, or let me pray about it, and I metaphorically, you know, raising the middle finger. I'm actually, yes, let's do this. Let's try this. Let's give this a shot. And so far, so good. And one of the things, we're not going to talk about food or our strategies here, because whatever I do may work for me, but not for you. But one of them is smashing this long-held belief and this behavior around planning my meals during the day. And it's a son of a bitch to let go of this and let go of the jaywalker. The jaywalker, you know, is going to get me killed. Even though I'm eating absently, the way I'm eating has got to be changed, because this could lead to a relapse. And for me, a relapse at this point in my life would be to die. If I can't make it in vision for you, there's nowhere I can go. There's no other place to go for me. I've been to those other places, and I was dying in those places, and I'm living today. And I want to share with you one thing. At 10 o'clock, I'm heading out to the lake with my nutritionist and my fitness coach. And something I've been wanting to do, I'm going to get some lessons on stand-up paddleboarding and possibly even get into competing with in that arena. And that is a result of being recovered. And I pass it back to you, Wayne. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Bruce C., you're up next. Please share with us.
Thanks, Jody. Yeah, this is Bruce E. I'm recovered food addict in Fort Myers, Florida. Very grateful to be on the line. I've been traveling the last 3 weeks and haven't been able to get on the line, but a few times. So I'm glad to be back in the swing of things here. So I'm the jaywalker, too. With this, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, that's weird. I can't, I didn't think I could identify with it. But now I can absolutely see that there is a thrill to this, to the food. It gave me a hit. It gave me a thrill. And I've been through the thing with the, like it says here, his conduct continues. Continual promises. I made many, many promises every week, pretty much, or maybe some, quite a few times during the week, I made promises to quit. And he gets a divorce. Yeah, I've been there, held up to ridicule. He tries everything to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. And I tried everything to get this food addiction, the obsession and compulsion to lift. And the only way I got it to lift was to get a sponsor and read this big book together, and then it lifted. So the thrill, so it says in a big book, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. I like the effect produced by food. I like that effect. And a psychiatrist told me that I may have been born or had this situation in my brain of not producing enough serotonin that make me feel better. So I might have used other substances to try to enhance that or make myself feel better. And I'd say that's probably what I did. I was trying to make myself feel better. But then I got, addicted. And then I, had to use more and more, and then the effect was less and less, and pretty soon it didn't. There was very little effect from it. Only lasted a short time. So the thrill is gone. I think it's B.B. King that sang that song, "The Thrill Is Gone, Baby, The Thrill Is Gone, The Thrill Is Gone." The golden moment, heard this at a meeting. A woman looked at me and she said, "The golden moment has passed." Yeah, it sure has. There was a time when I could really get
Sense
high.
Reminder.
Really, thank you, Jody. And now the thrill is gone. The golden moment has passed. So, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Brucey. Christine M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kat C.
Hi, this is Christine M. from Southern California. And I'm fairly new to OA and working through the first few steps right now. And I find the jaywalking paragraph so chilling. When I first read them, I was just stunned. And I needed this extreme analogy, this extreme example, to realize in my first step that I am insane. I am totally insane. I have nearly gone bankrupt. I have lost relationships. I have lost friends over my compulsive overeating. I have hurt myself again and again and again. And I've tried everything. This time. I'll try this. I'll try that. Thank goodness I finally stopped resisting coming to OA. And I'm here at OA. I realize I have a disease. I am insane. My behavior has been totally insane. But thank goodness, step two, God can restore me to sanity. Wow. I mean, I am insane, but I can be restored to sanity. And it's such a relief to be able to realize that I have a disease, that I am insane, but I cannot recover through my own will. I need the support of all of you. I need the support of Vision. I need the support of my sponsor. I need support of my higher power. And so I'm just so grateful. After, you know, 50 some years suffering through this, being a jaywalker, that I'm finally able to give myself up to a higher power and have time this prescription that is not a pill. It's a spiritual, I want to live a spiritual life. I really desperately want to live the spiritual life and continue on with the steps. And I needed this analogy to knock me over the head and realize I am this jaywalker. I am insane, but I can be restored to sanity through God. And I pass. Thank you for letting me.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Christine M. in California. Kat C., you're up next. Please share with us. And then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 38, paragraph 1, which begins with on through the years and ends with such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? Please share with us, Kat C., and let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Kat C. in Ohio. Compulsive overeater, recovering, not recovered. So I'm just starting out the steps process with a sponsor. I've been through the steps before, but just not with a sponsor. So this is amazing. And I really felt like the Lord brought me to that. But anyway, so I definitely related to the jaywalker. I literally jaywalk. We're in a really quiet town, and like it doesn't seem to be like such a big deal most of the time. But it really is, because the law of things is you go up to the crosswalk and you wait for the signal and you walk across. And what kind of struck me was that's sort of how it's been for this journey with compulsive overeating that I'm just figuring out that I have compulsive overeating is. I don't want to go down to the crosswalk because it's a lot of work. It's getting up my will to a higher power's will. And it's working the steps. It's having a plan of eating. It's calling people. It's a lot of things, but just working on things for a very short period of time has already been huge for me. So I'm just really, I'm excited. I'm nervous. So with jaywalking, it's just like, I understood with the, you know, he came out of the place and he just ran in front of a vehicle or whatever, and I totally relate with that because there was a point where in one of my mini diets where I had lost so much weight and I felt so good, but even during that time I was compromising here and there, like that one thing, like tiny thing, and then it would just snowball into, well, now you're 100 pounds, well, probably not quite 100, but you're heavier than when you started, and it took you 3 years, and it only took you less than a year to put it all back on. So, I'm just very grateful for this program, and thank you for being here, and thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kat C. Thank you for your share. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may want to might share their experience too.
So if you haven't shared in 3 days and you'd like to comment on page 38, paragraph 1, starts with on through the years and ends with wouldn't he, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Felicia F., New York.
Felicia F.
Vicky
Barbara A., California.
I heard Vicky in California, is that right?
Vicky in Florida, and then the other young lady in California.
Barbara A. in California.
Barbara A. in California.
Fred V. in California.
Who was that again? Was that Fred? Fred V., did I hear?
Yes, you heard a man, Fred V. as in Victor. Thank you.
V. as in Victor. Thank you.
Edini N., New York.
Edini N., okay.
Kaya P., Colorado.
Kaya P. Okay, that's a great lineup. This is who we've got. Felicia F., Vicky T., Barbara A., Fred V., Edini N., and Haya P. Wonderful. Felicia, please kick off this round, and you'll be followed by Vicky T.
Yes, thank you. So my name is Felicia F. I'm from New York. I'm fairly very new to this meeting, A Vision for You, and it's probably my first time sharing, so I'm a little nervous. But I could really relate to this paragraph. As I was, I did get a thrill when I was younger. I unfortunately would steal sugar desserts from my classmates' lunch boxes. I broke into people's homes searching for sugar with the high of not getting caught. And it was just all consuming. I didn't know why I was doing these things. But I just kept doing them, and I didn't seem to care about the consequences, similar to, all I know is just for now, I'm doing much better, and I'm abstinent, and I'm going through the steps, and doing my program, and I have some kind of food tranquility, and I have a relationship with my higher power, and I know that I have to keep working the steps and work with my higher power so that I don't get these impulses to jump, you know, into upcoming traffic or, in my case, do impulsive things with food. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Felicia F. So glad that you're here. So glad that you shared. Vicky T., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Barbara A.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vicky T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. This is a great passage. I never really related to the jaywalker. I didn't see how it had anything to do with my eating, but I think back not too long ago, when I had that urge, I would hear people say that there was an excitement, and I don't think I ever could understand that because the eating always led to really feeling down and remorseful and depressed. But if I think back now, that moment right before the binge, there was this moment of elation, a high, even before actually putting the food to my mouth. Just this excitement of I've got the world at my feet. I'm in control of everything. It's okay. And just realizing how sick that is and not being able to stop. And, you know, in the beginning, first sentence, it talks about on through the years and it has the word continue. And mine continued all through the years, in and out of OA, not finding the solution because the solution was spiritual and that I could not wrap my brain around. And the promises, you know, the promises that the jaywalker makes to get off the street the promises to myself, not really anybody else. Like, okay, that's it. This is it. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to, like, lock myself up into my bedroom or, you know, whatever it is. And then continuing to do it over and over and over again. And the only solution for me is entire abstinence. But how do I get to entire abstinence? I can't do that by myself. There is no reason for me to be abstinent right now other than God. And that is my only solution. And he either removes it or he doesn't. And for me, thank God, I have a connection. It's very new. It's a new connection after 34 years. I've just got the connection. I never had it before. And so this is a spiritual solution that I finally am able to understand in my heart and feel and receive. And I don't know, I can't give you like the how-to other than working the steps and spending an hour with God every morning and having a certain protocol and doing it day after day after day, God finally said, okay, I get it. You're here, I'm here, let's do this thing. And we got together, and it's been a perfect relationship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vicki T. Thank you very much. Is it Barbara A? Yes, Barbara A. You're up.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you, moderator. This is Barbara A. from California. Grateful for today to be free from the compulsion of compulsive overeating by the grace of God. I was listening this morning and about the jaywalker. I remember the first time I read it too. Like everyone else said, I just didn't get it. What does that have to do with me overeating? What I found is I don't read books a lot, and I don't pick up the same book all the time, but I do pick this book all the time. And I read every day with you on this meeting. And I got it, because this book is describing to me exactly what disease I have, the solution to my disease, and how I can progress through and put down the food. It tells me this, and that's why I go back to it every day to read it, and read it with you. I think about, yeah, it was crazy. I heard someone share that in their town it's very quiet. In my town, we have a high incidence of people being hit crossing the street. And no, I don't think they're all jaywalkers, but I do think that I look at myself as not paying attention, not taking the warning. You know, yeah, I know it's dangerous, but I'm going to do it anyway. And now by reading this book, picking it up every day and understanding, I now look for those people who are walking in the street. I, you know, it's like a vigilance. I said, gosh, I remember I was that careless. I was that forgetful. Be aware of that. It helps remind me of my disease, that I can be very careless and I can just decide to, oh, I'm just going to run across the street this time. This time I'm just going to take that one little bite. This time it'll be okay. I can just. So I started really relating to how I am like the jaywalker. And it took time, believe me. I didn't want to believe it at first. When I first read it, I thought it was ridiculous. What kind of analogy was that? But only by picking up this book day after day, reading with you, listening to your experiences, did I understand that I am a compulsive overeater, that I take these chances because I'm sick, because I didn't know better. I didn't have a solution. I didn't have the patience. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the wisdom. I didn't have God. So I'm so grateful to pick up this book, to read it. It's honestly one of the only books that I pick up repeatedly and read over and over and over. I don't do that with any of the books I studied with to get a degree. I don't pick up those books. Those books have been sold. So thank you for the opportunity to share today, to be joyous and grateful that, thank you, that I'm not a compulsive overeater for today, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. in California. Fred V., you are up next, and you're followed by Rini M.
Yes, my name is Fred. I'm a dumpster diver, compulsive overeater. I say that because I have had to call people after midnight and tell them that I'm putting something down in the garbage disposal, taking it out to the front lawn to give to the birds, or, you know, the burnt tortilla, to use a strange term for tortilla, you know, whole wheat when it was burned, and throw it like a frisbee over the wall or whatever, because I don't want to eat it. You see, I grew up thinking you could wash things off and eat them. And I still do. I got to be careful. You know, somehow I learned, I don't know where it was, that washing off a whatever piece of food it is, that would fix it. The problem was in my head. I had the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body. I never got it. I grew up in a family where my mom was always on a diet. She wanted to fit into that latest dress. Now, this is the 50s, you know. We're not talking about modern times. In the 50s, you know, that slim dress. I don't ever think I ever saw her in high heels. She knew better than that. But she always had to have a slim dress, look proper, have the right makeup on, and everything else. And I grew up in a family that had the finest. You know, we had the finest candy. We had the finest this or that. My family came from Germany, and they came through very deprived times. And they fled Adolf Hitler and all that. But, you know, I had to learn a different way of doing it, only because I saw what I didn't need. I loved my family. I love my family of origin. I can look back on it now and see they helped me a lot. But I know also when you eat a box of X-Lax and you have your stomach pumped, at a very young age, that's not normal. Plus, when you eat the meringue off the lemon meringue pie, and then mom says, hey, who did that? And you don't even say a word, because you know you're guilty, that you got a problem. And then when you climb to the top shelf, you know, when the maid's there, her name is Florence, and you grab something off of the top shelf that you're not supposed to be eating, and then you go back down and up and down and up and down and up and down till the package is empty. You know something's not quite right. But it took me a long time to realize that. It took me until 1982, going through a divorce in January of 81. And I woke up one day and read the Register Pajaroni in Watsonville, California, and saw on the front page, Community Events, Overeaters Anonymous, 7 p.m. meeting, Watsonville Public Library. And that was my beginning to a long journey that's lasted over 42 years. And not just this program, but others. But I'm so grateful today to be here because one of our union presidents from Los Angeles walked across Wilshire Boulevard and got killed. And there's a high school named for her along the Hollywood Freeway going towards, I guess, San Diego or Orange County. And it's the Helen Bernstein High School. Isn't that sad? Yeah, thank you for the reminder. But jaywalking does kill, especially on Wilshire Boulevard where there are a lot of vehicles going up and down. So when you think it doesn't hurt, it does hurt something bad. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fred V. Appreciate your share. Appreciate everybody's shares. Okay, Irene N., you're up next, followed by Haya P.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Irene N., compulsive overeater in New York, recovered. I have loved the shares today. I'm just so grateful to be on the line. This part of the book transports me to my journey working the steps and reading the book. I think I just need to share for myself today, so thanks for bearing with me. As everyone else said, I just didn't understand what this part of the book was trying to say. And I really did try to read it as an academic exercise. I really didn't know how to apply this. And so I think the first time I read this, I kind of just set it aside And I was like, I guess you take what you like. I mean, what, you know, what you like and leave the rest. So I'll just worry about this later. I didn't quite understand this part of the book until I was struggling with relapse. And I realized that, yes, my disease is progressive and that I can't control it. And that so long as I'm engaging in these allergic foods, I just want more and more of a thrill. And when I kind of had the ability to see my behavior from an outside perspective, and luckily I worked with a sponsor that had relapse experience, I could see that people looked at my behavior the way that I looked at this jaywalker, which is like, why are you doing that? And I couldn't explain it other than I just kept doing it over and over again. And my behavior was just as bizarre. So I'm just grateful to know that there is a solution and I can live in that solution and not hurt myself over and over again with food and with my other behaviors. So I will leave it there. Pass.
Thank you so much, Irini. Okay, Hi-P, you will be our next share. Please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can. You sound great.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the meeting. Hi, everybody. My name is Hi-P. Very grateful. Compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. And, I live in Colorado. I'm currently in Delaware walking with my grandson. Welcome to anyone who's new. If anybody's new to this line, it takes so much courage to get on the phone and listen and think of yourself as perhaps one of us, but I want to welcome you because this is truly an amazing program of recovery and it's an amazing fellowship that we have. As I was listening to the reading and all the shares, I was just thinking about what Kim G talks a lot about, which is we can exchange the words, you know, like food and body image and over-exercising and bulimia were killing me when I got here. And so it didn't matter that the book said alcohol and alcoholism. I just needed to put in, you know, my particular food, you know, ingredients and behaviors and just stick it in. There and there was no issue, right? And then when it comes to the second step, you know, I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. It freaked me out. But we can just plug in any word that works for us, creator, higher power, spirit of the universe, good orderly direction, the group, whatever it is. And I think it's the same with jaywalking. You know, I may not relate to jaywalking, although I have been known to, you know, cross in the middle of the street. But if I just put in, you know, thinking that this is going to work or this diet's going to work, or if I just go to the gym more, or if I just do this, like it's literally jaywalking. And the other thing that I really was thinking about was something that I heard on a meeting a couple of weeks ago. It was absolutely gorgeous what this woman said. I wish I could remember the name of the woman who said it because I really want to thank her. And it's so true. You know, when you're insane, the problem with insanity is you don't know that you're insane. That's the problem, right? You don't. You think it's normal. You think this is the way it's supposed to be. So she said this most amazing thing, which is the fact that we have a glimpse that this is insane. The fact that we can be on this phone line right now and discussing that this is insane to keep walking in the streets, to keep picking up the food, to keep thinking this diet's going to work, or if I just lose this much weight. That's insane. The fact that we have a glimmer of that truth, that it's insane, is miraculous. Now, it's not enough to become recovered and stay recovered, but it is that little glimpse, that flash of light that allows us to follow in the path. It lights the path, and the path is the 12 steps. And I'm just so grateful that as insane as I am when it comes to this illness, this power greater than myself gives me a glimpse that I can follow. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Haya P. We have time for one more share. Who'd like to take it? Star one to unmute.
Vanessa, hi, this is Sonia S.
I heard
oh,
Vanessa
somebody else
G.
Can go.
Yeah, I heard Vanessa G. If you're not Vanessa G, please mute your phone and please share with us, Vanessa. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll try to make it short, so if you have time. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in New Mexico. And it occurs to me that if I look at this story and I look at it in terms of consequences, I mean, all of us maybe, or most of us perhaps, have crossed a street once in a while, not at the corner, not in a crosswalk. And that happens with normal eaters, too. They overeat or they eat too much of something, that type of thing. But they can stop despite, you know, when the consequences get crazy. But not me. And that's the way I understand this disease. It's eating, overeating, eating alcoholic foods, in spite of the consequences. No matter what happens to me, I am still going to compulsively overeat. That's the nature of my disease. Thank God there's a solution. And I will pass now. Maybe you have time for the other share. Thank you.
Okay, we have like 1 minute. Anybody like to take it? I'm sorry, I didn't take other names of people who had said they wanted to share. Can I be heard?
Just wanted to commit to 24 hours of
action. Sonia S. from Philadelphia.
Oh. Okay, Sonia S., please take a minute to share with us. Thank you.
Okay, real quick. I love the, Sonia S., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I'm on step 3, and the step 2 work was incredibly powerful. I had to erase 15,000 posts on Pinterest of hair, makeup, and clothes because I used that as a distraction. That's absolutely crazy. I know it's not the food, but the issue is that it's insane behavior. And I use those things just like I use the food. So I am grateful today that I'm on step 3. And thank you, everyone, for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who has shared. Fabulous meeting. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Hillary B. please read a vision for you?
Hi, Hillary B. here, compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.